The California Coastal Commission last month unanimously signed off on the Doheny Ocean Desalination Plant in Orange County. The approval of the $140 million project comes after the panel rejected a proposed bigger $1.4 billion desalination plant up the coast in Huntington Beach earlier this year. In addition, commission staff have recommended the approval of another plant in Monterey County. As communities throughout the West struggle with their water supplies, desal has been seen as more and more of an option. That includes in Arizona, where Governor Ducey has proposed building a plant on the Sea of Cortez. That would allow Mexico to send Arizona more of its share of Colorado River water. With me to talk about the recently approved plant in California is Greg Pierce, co-director of the UCLA Water Resources Group. And Greg, what rationale did the California Coastal Commission give for approving the plant near Dana Point?
Yeah, I think there were really three major reasons. The first, and what motivates these plants in the first place, of course, is that the local region thought that it needed a new source of water. And in this particular subregion of Orange County, California, there were few options relative even to just a little bit up the coast in terms of new water supplies. The second reason is that this particular location for the Doheny plant in the South Coast region of Orange County is particularly suitable environmentally to desalination, as much as any site is suitable. And then the third reason is that the relative cost of the plant and the ownership by a public agency of the plant presented some advantages versus a lot of other desalination plants that are proposed.
What about the site makes it environmentally suitable, especially maybe as opposed to other plants like the one, also on the California coast that the commission earlier this year said no thank you to?
Yeah, there's really two attributes that stand out. And I should say I'm not a technical expert in this space, but the two that have been flagged are, first of all, the hydrogeology of the site, and essentially it being slanted allows for the intake of water to have less of an impact of also sucking in aquatic life and killing aquatic life compared to your average desalination plant. Although I should say any modern desalination plant is going to take measures to mitigate that. This site is particularly easy to mitigate that, as well as essentially the effluent or the byproduct of desalination, the really salty brine, has to be disposed. And in many cases, it's either quite expensive or environmentally damaging to dispose of it. But in this case, there happens to be a wastewater plant right next door that can take on that brine and use it as an input to its processes.
So you mentioned the need, and of course, that is a key consideration for any of these plants, right? What is the need for that area right now? Because obviously, you know, if you're going to build a desalination plant, you're not going to snap your fingers and have it built. It's going to take some amount of time. So is the need great now, or is this kind of like we see this coming down the pike and want to try to get in front of it?
Yeah, I'd say it's more the latter. Everywhere needs water, and in the U.S. Southwest, really, it needs to be forward-looking about its investments. Some places are literally running out of water or have run out of water, and mostly in small areas. I would say in this case, this is forward-looking. The plant certainly won't be built for 5 years. But this particular region of Orange County has fewer options, again, than even just up the coast in Huntington Beach, where the Poseidon plant was recently rejected. It has less availability to store groundwater or to tap on groundwater resources and less capacity to recycle water, and is at this point wholly reliant on imported water, which is being cut and is also getting more expensive.
Right. Are there estimates as to how much water this plant will produce, how much potable water this plant will produce once it's up and running?
Yeah, the estimate is, up to 5 million gallons per day and serving, I'm not exactly sure the percentage, but serving of water supply for the population, but serving a population of about 40,000 people. It's actually a relatively small desalination plant, certainly compared again to the proposed plant in Huntington Beach, which was about 10 times the size.
Well, so, and I guess maybe taking some of the geographic and some of the environmental considerations out of it, does it seem as though this might be the approach that, you know, entities, municipalities, states, other governmental entities that are looking to build desalination plants, might they look at something that is maybe a little smaller? And you mentioned a five-year timeline. Typically with desal plants, we hear 10 years or more to get it up and running. Is maybe a smaller approach a better approach in general, or is it maybe kind of site-specific to this one?
Yeah, I hate to give the answer that it's site-specific, but I do think if there's one thing I'd stress is every regional case differs. And even 30 miles along the coast, you have quite a different situation.
It's so interesting because like desalination is seen by a lot of folks as a really good option, a good potential for a lot of different areas. You know, Arizona has talked about maybe partnering with Mexico to build a desalination plant in the Sea of Cortez. But as you say, like you kind of have to look at each site and each specific situation that you're trying to deal with here to figure out, A, is desal an option? B, is it a good option? And C, if it is, what kind of facility might you be looking to build?
Yeah, exactly. And I would say also the first things you want to be looking at before desalination are always conservation. I would say at this point, water recycling, stormwater capture and groundwater capture. After that, enhancing those technologies. After that, desalination is on the agenda. But again, it really varies how effective it's going to be, depending on exactly where you're at and what your relative situation is.
Do you get the sense that desalination at some point will be a bigger part of California's water portfolio than it is now in a meaningful way?
I do. Again, I think those other four technologies or strategies always should come first. Again, in some cases, they're not available either. But I do think desalination, the technology has improved. It's going to improve. And reliance on imported water and an unsustainable overuse of groundwater is going to decrease. So relatively, yes, it's going to become a bigger part of the strategy.
Are there conversations happening in California about the possibility of building and using desalination plants to also export water, or is it mostly just to serve a particular community's need in California?
There are conversations, and I think I'm both really optimistic and quite pessimistic about them at the same time, in so much as if we can figure out how to do that, I see the benefits of building quite a few more desalination plants, particularly to serve areas that are inland that really don't have other options, and that even high cost water is better than no water or bottled or hauled water. That being said, where I get pessimistic or I need to see more to be positive, like those types of agreements need to be made up front, not just talked about. And you have to make sure that they're legal, and that gets quite complex in order for them to actually happen on the back end. But I do see that if that can be pulled off, and if the governance works, being quite promising.
All right. That is Greg Pierce, co-director of the UCLA Water Resources Group. Greg, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.